Hi, David.
Hello, Luke. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Not too bad at all.
Thank you ever so much. This is it's lovely to speak to you. You must be excited about the upcoming release of the album.
Yes, very, very excited. I've had a full-on day today of loads of promo and interviews today. So, yeah, the buzz and the hype is getting very real. And the release date's only round the corner now. It's about 3 weeks away. 26th of April it's released on. So, yes, some very, very excited times indeed.
Is it more exciting than stuff you've done before, the stuff you do with Iced Earth and Absolver, or is it just a different sort of exciting?
I think it's very different. I mean, I'm excited about every sort of release I do, no matter what project it's with at all or anything. And this is slightly more personal because it's my first, it's my debut album, so, and I'm in control of it a lot more than other things. I mean, because obviously with Absolver, you've got Chris and our manager as well, so they kind of take the reins on it a bit more. And Iced Earth, as many people know, John Schaefer's, it's definitely John Schaefer's baby, that kind of thing. So I'm very much just the bass player in that sort of situation, and so I don't really have to think about much else. But with this, obviously, everything has to go through me first, so it's I've got a lot more control over it and a lot more responsibilities. But with all the work that I've put in, it's so great to finally come to the release date now and everything's done, and then I can finally go on tour with it.
I've been fortunate enough to have it sitting playing for about a week, which is a good thing, because it does mean I've been listening to it for a week.
Yeah. Played it more than once, that's good.
Exactly. And you mentioned before it's quite, you know, this feels very personal because it's your first solo thing. To me, listening to it, it feels that it was very a personal type of record. The songs seem quite reflective. Would that be true?
Yes. No, yeah, you're definitely right there. There's a few songs that definitely are inspired by true events and whatnot. And other songs are fictional kind of stories and stuff that just are topics I quite enjoy writing about. There's all sorts of different feelings and different emotions on this album, and I think when people finally hear it, when it's released, I think they're going to pick up on those little touches. And you know, there's a lot of things, there's a lot of different emotions, and there's a lot of different topics going on this album. Yeah. But my main goal with it is to still keep a lot of energy, and I still write upbeat songs, but there are definitely different vibes on there, a lot more slow, emotional, and a slow picking kind of things, the ballads, if you will. But yeah, I think there's a lot of different textures on this album, a lot more than my first CD, How Does It Feel to Be Alive. So I think everyone will pick up on that when they finally hear it.
Was that a conscious thing, or was it just when you were writing, was it like, I want to make an album, or was it, I just want to write and that's what came out?
I always want to write. I mean, every day I'm always thinking of different riffs, different ideas, and different places where to take a specific song. So I'm never in danger of a writer's block, usually, touch wood this way. I find most of my time nowadays when I'm not on the road, or even when I'm on the road, if I just pick up a guitar for 5 minutes, more often than not, I'm thinking of a new riff or a passage to a riff that I've already wrote. So I'm always constantly writing. But yeah, I think it was a conscious decision to kind of make this a little bit different. I think my first CD, How Does It Feel to Be Alive, was much more of just a kind of like playing how I would usually play in a heavy metal band, and then just giving myself an acoustic guitar. Whereas I think this album, I've deliberately thought of the acoustic guitar vibe and the feeling and the passages, and I've got a lot more finger picking style playing on this album. Little stuff like that, just a few little differences, just to make it not just just an acoustic album kind of thing. So, and there isn't just the acoustic guitar. I've got some percussion instruments on there, the bass guitar, some electric slide guitar, electric solos, and some MIDI orchestra. So there's a lot of different textures and contrast on there. So it's a lot more than just an acoustic album, I personally feel, anyway. So
no, I would agree.
It's got a lot. It's a lot going on. A lot of different things on each track, I believe.
When someone goes, well, it's you kind of go, oh, an acoustic album, and you think, right, well, that's gonna be a great soundtrack to a, or I don't know, a Sunday morning while you're just pootling around doing stuff. Which is not to, I'm not saying that as a bad thing, by the way, because that sounds a bit negative. It's not meant to. Yeah, but you know what I mean? There's certain times where you go, oh, yeah, something with an acoustic guitar, and that's going to be perfect for that. What struck me, because I was listening to it while I was working during, you know, a normal working day, and you're kind of going, hey, you know what? That works really well. It doesn't feel that, it's laid back, but in places, but not laid back. It's not like someone trying to knock holes out of an acoustic guitar in some, you know what I mean? It's that, it's a nice, broad, balanced record. It doesn't feel like it's trying too hard to be something particular other than the best thing you could have produced at the time. Which is what all a record should be, I suppose. But and it was one of those where you put it on the first time, you go, oh, that was really good. Well, just listen to that again, and you start picking up other things.
Yeah.
And there's one song, and please forgive me. There's a song where you've got a female vocalist on there.
Yes. The first star. Yeah, that's. The
yeah, one. That suddenly snapped straight to the focus of my attention. While I was just like, oh, wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
And so when you were writing, was that kind of the idea? You thought, oh, right, I want to do something and get a second vocalist in or a female vocalist just to balance things up? Or was that kind of, you did the song and went, oh, that might work and give it a try?
Well, but when I first started, I started writing this album immediately after I released my first CD. So it's been about a year in the making, songwriting. Mm. But, you know, I'll write a song one day and then I won't write another song for this project for another couple months or something. So it was all very spread across the year. But that was actually one of the first songs I wrote for this album. And I knew immediately as I was writing it, the feel of it, because the songs, it's kind of like a love story. So I wanted like a male vocal and a female vocal, which is where I got the girl, Teresa Smith, from the band Metaprism. She did the vocal parts on that song, and she did a fantastic job. In my opinion, it's one of the highlights of the album. I love it. It's so different. It's moody. It's got a nice message behind it. It's a positive love story between two people who more often than not are traveling in whatever way they do, and they don't end up seeing each other that much, but whatever love they have, it keeps them together. That's the whole kind of message behind that song, and I think it comes across really well. And I think mine and Teresa's vocals work very well together, so yeah, that's definite highlight of the album for me, that song.
Your brother managed to sneak in on it as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Was that kind of him twisting your arm, being the big brother and saying, I'm going to be on that, or was that that was a choice thing?
It was kind of a mutual agreement, because my brother, he was actually the engineer, the studio engineer, producer, mixed and mastered the whole album. So he was with me through the whole recording process. And there was this one track in particular that we thought this could do with a really cool melodic solo. And I just thought it was stupid not asking my brother to do a solo, because he's a fantastic guitar player and he's got such a unique style and sound to the way he plays. I thought it'd be a perfect opportunity to grab him and let him lay down a solo on the song Crocodile Tears we chose for him to play on the album, which is fantastic. That's probably the biggest ballad on the album, I think. It's very mellow, and then it really ramps up at the end. And it's cool. He did a great job. And whilst we're talking about the other guests, I may as well mention the other guest. We've got Rishi Mehta from the band Babylon Fire. He did a fantastic job on two songs off the album, actually, and he did some solos and melodies. And me and Rishi have been friends for many, many years now, so I'm very glad that we could finally work on a project together. And I'm very happy that we got to work on this together. He's a great dude, and I'm looking forward to, and we're actually doing a show together in Belgium in a few weeks. We're playing together in Deinzer, Belgium, on the 21st of April, I believe. So we're going to go fly over there and do an acoustic set together, which will be great. And the final guest is a man called Gene Adam. Now, Gene was the original Iced Earth singer. So wow. I was very, very happy to get this one in the bag. I've met Gene a couple times now, and he's a fantastic guy and a great vocalist. And he's done such a wonderful and different job on this album. It was I chose this song, Slaver Hydra, for Gene. And I had like a little idea of what I wanted him to do. But then when he sent me, because he lives in the States, so we had to do everything by email. So he emailed me his vocal tracks over, and he went above and beyond my expectations. It's almost like he's a storyteller on the track on Slay the Hydra. It's very, very interesting and very different, and I'm really glad I chose that song for him. So yeah, I'm very, very happy with all my guests on this album. I couldn't have asked for more. It's very, very pleased with the overall outcome.
A bit like your brother, you're not one for sitting still, are you? You're a busy boy.
Definitely not. I don't like home that much. I mean, I love seeing my family, I love seeing my friends, but you know, give me a week at home and then every other month we can go on tour, please.
Really? It's like that. And you've got quite a lot coming up, haven't you, in terms of touring?
Yes, I have. So the acoustic tour starts in a few weeks. I'll be touring that for, I don't know, I think it's like a month and a half around the UK and Europe, going to countries like Belgium, Germany, Netherlands, doing quite a few shows in the UK. And over the summer, going to do a show in Finland at Dart River Festival. SOS Festival in Manchester, that's going to be a good one. Headlining the acoustic stage on this Saturday, which is going to be fantastic. And with my other bands as well, with Absolver, we've got numerous amounts of festivals spread across the year. We've also got a show supporting YNT in Belgium at the end of this year. So, and also supporting Power Quest in London at the end of this year. We've got a lot going on, a lot spread across the year. And Absolver, I'm very happy to announce that Absolver are working on our fifth studio album.
Fantastic.
So that's very exciting. So exciting times. We're working on it as we speak right now.
I was going to say, knowing Chris, that's probably due for release, the day before yesterday?
Pretty much. As soon as we get it done, we just want it out.
In terms of that and in your own stuff and things like that, you do it very well, the Absolver and your own stuff and Chris's stuff. You seem to get a very loyal fan base that you look after very well. You offer them lots of special things, like the special pack for your new album,
yep,
with the goodies. Do you find that works really well in terms of making a career out of this lunacy life that is rock and roll?
Yes, it does. I mean, those hardcore fans are definitely very important to us, and we always try and make it a thing to treat them very, very well. When we're playing shows, we always like to go to the merchandise, say hello to everybody, sign whatever they want, get a picture, whatever they want, you know, or just join them for a beer for a few minutes, something like that, you know. I'm never against that idea.
No.
And also these fan packs as well. So we always like to get the exclusive kind of fan pack options and whatnot. And for this album, I did like a little exclusive tin box kind of thing for the first, I think, 20 or 30 people who bought the CD. And I only made that offer limited to people who subscribe to my newsletter, which is mainly all the diehard fans, really. So I like just little bonuses like that give them a little bit more exclusivity than everyone else. I mean, you know, a lot of people are still discovering us. So the fan base grows and grows every day. But we really try and treasure that core fan base that picked up on us ever since the Fear UK days, really, before Absolver. And it just grows every day, and we're very thankful for everyone who's stuck around with us.
Yeah, some people might say, oh, haven't they been lucky? And then you go, yeah, it's funny that the luckier, the harder they've worked, the luckier they've got. There's nothing quite like, for anybody who hasn't come across Absolver and Chris and Luke and the boys, I honestly, there's quite a lot of hardworking people in the industry, but yeah, really, I've never known anybody that just is as unrelentless as your family. The parent, you just, it's non-stop.
That's what I kind of say. Thank you.
Well, it makes sense because in terms of if you're gonna try and survive doing anything, you've got to work. You've got to work hard. Otherwise, nothing is going to happen. And it's quite obvious that you do that. And certainly, I've seen, as long as I've known certainly Chris, which is must be 5 years or so now, and I can see the support grow. Even in those 5 years, and I was kind of late to the party, but you know what I mean. It's you can see it, and it is down to hard work. The shows are a lot of fun for the crowd. You guys always look like you're having a great time, but you're working. It's work, and I can see that. I know it's work. Not that you make it look hard. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that, but you know what I mean. But you're clearly also all very passionate about it. Because you couldn't do what you're doing if you weren't.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. It started off as a huge love and passion and everything, and the more serious it became, it does still remain the love and passion, but we have an element of the business side to it now, which doesn't take away any of the love, passion, and enjoyment. In my case, anyway, it still is. I can't find a bigger adrenaline rush when I'm on stage and creating music, actually. Yeah. In the studio, it's fantastic. I really get excited of hearing things being recorded and finally hearing this vision, almost hearing this vision I've had for maybe 6 months or something, finally hearing it blasted out at me through a set of speakers. There's no better feeling than that. The only feeling that matches that is playing live on stage and hearing your guitar amp roaring from behind you, and then even if it's 100 people, 1,000 people, 10,000 people, hearing this scream from the crowd of enjoyment, there's no bigger adrenaline rush than those two situations for me.
This is a tricky one. Are you a guitarist who became a bass player, or a bass player that sometimes plays guitar?
A bass player that sometimes plays guitar.
That's really?
Yeah. I get asked this question quite a lot. And
do you? Oh, sorry.
It's all right. But it's interesting because a lot of people think it's guitarist who became a bass player, but no, bass has always been my baby kind of thing. Mm-hmm. When I first picked up an instrument, it was my brother obviously plays, but my father plays. And mm-hmm. he taught himself how to play guitar at the very early age of, I think, 10 or something. Right. And he didn't have any teachers or anything. He just taught himself. And then eventually when my brother came of maybe the similar age, 10, 11 years old, my father taught my brother how to play guitar. Mm-hmm. And then 6 years later, I decided I wanted to play. Very similar, 10 or 11 years old. And they automatically gave me a guitar. But I saw this big, slightly larger instrument with four strings on the wall, which obviously was a bass. And I automatically pointed at that. And I was like, no, I quite like the look of this, actually. And they gave me that. And they're like, oh, okay, he's a bass player then. And it was just as simple as that, really. And then they taught me how to play. And the more and more serious I got, I started learning tablature online. And then I started learning songs by ear. Just did it every day, every single day. I was always in my room after school, even before school. Sometimes I get up extra early just to have 20 minutes on my bass. And then more serious, the more touring I did, it just felt so natural. And then eventually just started picking up guitar.
Yeah, you see, I ended up the other way. The reason I've got a bass in my studio is because someone said, we need a bass player. And I went, yes, we do. We know that. We're advertising. The only way, it's you. I went, oh. Is it? Okay. I still haven't got a clue. I'm no better using one of the four strings than probably I am using all of the six, but never mind. It is a lot of fun. I do enjoy it, though. There's something about playing bass that is, when I'm doing it badly, it's just a different feeling to playing guitar. It's a different beast completely, isn't it? But I've played guitar for so long, it still comes as a shock. What the hell am I doing with this?
I think it's a very underestimated instrument in my opinion. I think a lot of people just expect the bass to be a simplified version of whatever the guitar plays. But I completely disagree with that logic. It's so much more than that. It's supposed to be the glue between the guitar and the drums.
Yeah.
There's no bigger thrill than me for me to be locked in tight with the drummer when I'm playing bass. When me and Brent, the drummer of Iced Earth, when we're nailed in together on a show, it is a fantastic feeling. And we have rehearsed together a lot and practiced a lot together, and we've worked out fills where we're both really syncopated with each other, and it's so cool some of the stuff we come up with, and it's so fun to do. Some of that old school Iced Earth songs are so fun to play. And they've got some great grooves about it. I mean, I'd take that over being a guitarist any day.
And it, interestingly, though, for me, when you end up back playing guitar in Absolver or when you're playing acoustic, is it quite? Do you find it quite a challenge going back to the guitar to not play it like you would play your bass in terms of the groove and everything else, and trying to be the glue?
In a way. I suppose, because the bass has got to... I mean, I'm a rhythm player when it comes to guitar playing, usually. I do some twin lead harmonies with Chris in Absolver and whatnot. Yeah. Very few solos. It's mainly the rhythm for me. So I'm still in that kind of mindset of being locked in with the drummer.
Yeah.
Because two of my biggest influences as guitar players is James Hetfield and John Schaefer of Iced Earth. Mm-hmm. The two, in my opinion, to the two best rhythm guitar players out there. So that's kind of what I model my... Those are my two biggest influences. That's what I kind of model my playing off.
Yeah.
When it comes to guitar playing. So there is there's a big difference between a guitar and a bass. So as soon as you pick it, if you pick one of them up, by the time you come around to picking the other one up, there is a slight adjustment period. But I don't know. I just do both of them so much now. It's just very, very natural. But at the beginning, when I was first picked up the guitar, there was definite periods where, an adjustment period's probably the best to describe it.
Yeah, I was thinking more in terms of the style of playing, you know, because you're talking about the finger picking and things on the new album. When I play bass, bass players tell me I'm a heathen. I will only use a plectrum. I can't use my fingers. I just can't. And people said, why is that? I said, well, because really, if I'm in a band, I want to be the rhythm guitarist more than anything else.
Yeah. You
go, why? I went, because I can show off more. You know, but anyway, that's me. And of course, so I'm on with banging away with a plectrum.
Yeah.
So when I go back, when I pick up the guitar again, if I've been playing bass like that, I find it quite difficult to turn the subtlety back up. If you understand what I mean, you know, I want to hit everything hard, like I'd hit the bass harder, and it doesn't work quite so well.
Yeah, I can understand. I play mainly with a pick myself when I'm playing bass as well. For the style of music that I play, I believe the sound's better, you're tighter in general. I just think it's a better thing to do. Not to say playing with your fingers is wrong. I like playing with fingers, but I'm just not as good. I just go for the thing that I'm best at. There are some passages I'll use my fingers for in Iced Earth, some slower passages and, you know, some more ballady type songs, that kind of thing. But I know what you mean, especially I like to give it some on a bass, definitely, when I'm playing with a pick, and my picks are fairly thick as well. So, and obviously the bass strings are thicker, so you're able to attack them a little bit harder. And then when you go over to a guitar, the strings are much thinner and I'm breaking strings left, right and centre. So I do have to be a little conscious of that.
One of the things that I've spotted with the new record and the fan packs and things that I thought was really nice was the patch and your logo with the LA styling.
Yep.
And noticed the bass clef in there.
Yep, yes you did.
was that your idea or was that somebody else went, hey, we've got this really cool idea, what do you think?
I was designing, I was with, who was it? Lungful Design. Who designed that logo for me. And I was meddling around with some ideas with, Mike, he's called, myself and Mike. And then, we were just messing around with some ideas, but I also had a good friend of mine who actually came up with that idea. It was like, why don't you incorporate the little bass clef into your logo? And so we're just like searching for some like little ideas. We found this thing that looked kind of similar to what we had. And then I sent it to Mike at Lungful, and then he gave me that back and I was sold immediately. So it's, yeah, it was a collaboration between the three of us, really.
No, it was a neat idea. As I'm sort of looking at it and going, that's cool, I like that logo. And then I looked a bit closer and went, ah, I see what you've done there.
Yeah.
And I just think it's a nice sort of idea. I just thought that was...
a little personal touch to it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you ever so much. And it's been a pleasure speaking to you. And I'll no doubt catch up with you soon. If not before, I'll see you at SOS Fest.
Absolutely.
For anybody that's not been, you need to go. Find it online. It's just the best weekend you can have. The album is, as you say, it's out 26th.
26th of April, yeah.
26th of April. And get it. Get it ordered, folks. You won't regret it. It is fantastic. Fantastically good stuff. And so once again, Luke, thank you very, very much, and enjoy what's coming in the next few weeks and months.
No problem, David. Thank you for your time.